read by you and even put into print, it's still alive, and from this very moment, we can still act on it and see the same results that people saw throughout all of eternity. Thank you, Father. Lord, I pray that it would be alive to us today, and that we would see what we could act on and begin to produce life and faith in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I have a little bit of dust in my eye, but I'll get that out. We're Word of Faith Church. We talk about faith. We minister on faith. We encourage people to understand how faith works. And that is a very important part of being a Christian. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But the second part of that verse says you need to know that God is and believe that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So when it comes to faith, our goal, our purpose is to know how to believe God. That's what faith is. Faith is simply believing God for what He said, what He did, what He will do. And it's, we notice that, I've got Tim back there. He's one of the walking concordances in the church. And he pulls it up on the screen right away without me even giving the reference.
Are y'all seeing it?
Okay. Hebrews 11:6. So when you, faith is really just believing in God's word to you, if you want to say it that way. Has God spoken to you? Has God given you some sort of direction? Now, there's more than one way that God can speak to you. One of them is through His written word. And you want to believe God at His word. When He said it in His word, He meant it. And you can take hold of it. It can be alive to you. The written word is not dead. It is quick and alive, meaning it is quick. It's alive. And so even though He said it years ago, many years ago, maybe many, 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 many years ago, His words are still alive today. And whatever you put into force by talking those words, by acting those words, by speaking those words, you're actually still have the creative force behind those words today that they had years ago. His words don't stop. So. Right, seeds, you can put them in the ground, and with the right water and temperature, they'll start to germinate and produce plants and ultimately some form of fruit. And reproduce. Okay, now what we run into a lot of times as ministers, we see people believing God for something or wanting to believe God for something, but they haven't seen the manifestation of it. They're just not seeing results. They've got an idea in their head of what God can do, will do, wants to do, has promised to do, but they're not seeing the results of it. And they go through year after year after year not seeing any kind of results. So how do you help people actually get results in believing God? You know? One way, I've got Veronica back here today. One way people receive something from God is by the gifts of the Spirit. It's a gift. It happens. Even if you're not believing, it can happen to you. But you can't purpose that into your life. The gifts of the Spirit are as He wills, not as you will. So you can't purpose the gifts of the Spirit into your life. You can stir up the gifts of the Spirit within you for someone else, but it's still as the Holy Ghost wills as to what is available to someone else through you. But this is a promise to you. you always have access to the promises of God by faith. Amen. So there's two ways. You can get it by the gifts of the Spirit, or you can get it by faith in God's word. Sometimes God's word to you is a spoken word. It comes in your heart. Most of the time when it comes into your heart, it's a confirmation or a revelation of his written word. So it's going to come through the written word most of the time. Vine's Expository Dictionary says that when it talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, which comes out of our mouth, which we speak at a specific moment, specific time, that sword, that word that comes alive to us is actually the result of having first put it in us. The Holy Spirit brings back to remembrance the things that we've put in us. So the prerequisite in order to bring something back is to have first put something in yourself, which of course is the reading of the word or hearing of the word. So rhema is a product of having heard the word and the Holy Ghost igniting it, bringing it to light on the inside of you, and suddenly you're in faith. Faith is actually a byproduct of having heard God say something and believing it. You don't search for faith, you search for the word of God. What is God's word to you? How do you get it? How do you find that word for you? What we have seen recently, and it's come up several times in the recent past, is that people are trying to achieve something. They're trying to believe God for something, and they're being told, use your faith, act on your faith, step out, do it. They're being encouraged to release their faith, just like Paul told the guy, stand up on your feet. But Paul had perceived that the guy had faith, and that's why he told him to stand up. The guy in the pool of Bethesda, Jesus told him, take up your bed and walk. You know, but he was the only one out of the whole bunch that Jesus told that to. Why? Because God, Jesus, perceived that that one man was in faith. John Alexander Dowie was Dowie in San Francisco? Yeah, he was ministering in San Francisco, and he had a huge reputation for healing ministry, so when he arrived at his hotel, a crowd circled the entire block waiting to see him and be ministered to by him. The hotel management came to him and said, you need to do something about all this people, if you would, please. And he says, not even meeting time. Tell them to come to the church. And they said, yeah, but we can't have the people lining the streets all the way around here. Okay, I'll see them one at a time, send them up to my room. So he began ministering to them one at a time, and he had 100% success for everybody he prayed for that came into his room. But he only prayed for one. Of all the people that kept coming into his room, and he kept ministering to them, but there was only one person that he prayed for out of all the people. And when he prayed for her, she got an instant healing. And why was that? He perceived that she was in faith. He also perceived that the others were not in faith. Now, he operated in the gift of an evangelist, which very often has the ministry of signs and wonders. That is a gift from God for ministry in order to win the lost. It operates in other people and other areas and stuff like that. But one thing you do see in an evangelist very typically is you see someone who's able to minister to the sick. Why? Because it's a signs and wonders ministry. It attracts the lost. It attracts those that have wandered away. And the purpose of the evangelist is to demonstrate how to win the lost. Okay? Now, well, the evangelist does win the lost. A fivefold evangelist teaches others how to win the lost. Okay, there's a difference slightly, you know, but a pastor gathers the sheep and trains the sheep. An apostle gathers ministers and trains ministers. You know, there's a passing on of ministry. Evangelists aren't just a single evangelist. A fivefold evangelist's purpose is to train the saints how to be evangelists, not just be an evangelist. Okay, so now, where was I? So John Alexander Dowie, he only prayed for the one person. Why do you think he would bring all these people into his room and only pray for one person out of all those? It just makes sense. Pray for everybody. The more you pray for, the more people get well, right? No, it doesn't work that way. Because see, when he was in the meeting, he's operating under a spiritual anointing for the meeting. You remember in Luke chapter 5 where it says, the power of God was present to heal them, but yet only one person, the one they dropped through the ceiling, is the one that walked away well. So there was a power there, there's a presence there, and it can come as the Holy Spirit wills for a group of people, but the best way is to receive it by faith. Yes. Now, how come John Alexander Dowie, only prayed for the one lady? Because she was the only one that was in faith. Now, he perceived that because he wasn't operating under his ministry gift. He was operating as a Christian in that room who had experience and knowledge and understanding of the scriptures, yes, but he was operating as a Christian, not under his ministry anointing, which would have been present at the meeting. So as he's ministering as a Christian to a Christian, the only thing he could do is help a person release their faith. But all the other people that came into the room, he wasn't able to help them release their faith because why? They had not produced faith. So first that you have to produce faith before you can release faith. What we find, Veronica and I have talked about this, what we find a lot of times in Word of Faith circles, we have a lot of people saying, release your faith, release your faith, release your faith, release your faith, and a lot of people going, I feel so bad because I'm not getting any results. I'm trying to release my faith and not getting any results at it. And the problem goes back to they haven't produced faith. It's like opening a cage to release all the doves, but there's no doves in it. You can't release the doves, the Spirit of God, from you until it's in there. Okay? So you open this huge cage, release the doves. Nothing's coming out. Well, it was supposed to come out. Hello, doves? Anybody in there? Nothing's in there. You can't release the doves unless there's doves in the cage. So people are trying to release the doves, but they have no doves to be released. That's not a problem. All you have to do is produce faith. The problem comes when you keep trying to release faith when you haven't produced faith. Then people get frustrated. They get tired. Their experiences begin to be failures rather than successes. And then they base the promises of God on their experiences rather than on the Word of God. And so now they're saying God doesn't heal because God's never healed, rather than saying God does heal because I've seen Him do it. Because the Word of God says it, that's why I believe He did it. So you can't keep going forward and trying to press forward and having success without producing faith. So how do we really produce faith? Some of the best people at producing faith are ministers that are teachers. Okay? You don't have to have a teacher, but it's an exhorter's purpose in the body of Christ is to motivate you to release your faith. Not necessarily, their calling isn't necessarily to produce faith. So you have to surround yourself with other people and ministries that are helping to produce faith for a particular area. How many of you have ever read somebody else in a specific area? You remember reading 10 years ago, who would you have read for a prosperity message? Kenneth Copeland, Creflo Dollar? You know, you would have gone to one of these people and got a book and read it. I've got a book by E.W. Kenyon. We sell it in the bookstore. It's just a thin little book called Two Kinds of Righteousness. What a powerful book on knowing that you are the righteousness of God. Man, you read that, it'll produce faith. Veronica has a book she absolutely loves called Spiritual Burnout by Malcolm Smith. It was probably written almost 30 years ago, and she's been reading it ever since, and it just produces rest in her every time she reads it. Anybody ever had one of those energy drinks? Why did you drink it? Because you wanted energy, right? You felt like your body needed energy, so what were you doing? Trying to produce energy. So you went to a place that had energy. I remember Veronica and I, we were traveling with Rachel. We went up to North Carolina. She was about 2 and a half. I guess almost 3, maybe. So we went up to North Carolina, and in order to make it maybe easier on us and Rachel, we drove at night as much as we could, and hoping that she would sleep in the car seat, which she did. It went well. On the way back, Veronica's brother sells Monavie, and he said, "Here, y'all have one of these each." You know, and is a big Monavie energy drink. It's supposed to be more natural than these super-powered caffeine, sugar, all these different things. I don't usually drink the energy drinks. And so I just kind of sipped on it for about 2 or 3 hours. And I was awake for 5 hours, definitely. And then when it was time to change drivers so that Veronica could drive some, I couldn't fall asleep. I'm supposed to be over there sleeping. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm supposed to be sleeping, and I'm just awake, you know, because I had this energy drink. And Veronica's over there drinking one. So you do these things because that's what they produce. So you want to produce what? Healing in your body. You want to produce what? Prosperity in your life. You want to produce what? What's the thing that you're trying to produce? If you're trying to produce something, you need to go to the source that's going to produce it. So what do you do? What are some ways that you can actually produce faith for an area in your life?
Meditating on that word.
Meditating on that word. You need to feed on the whole picture. I mean, you need your meats, your vegetables, your milks, your grains. You need the whole thing. But sometimes you're low on what? If you get a doctor's report that says you're anemic, what do? You go eat more liver, right? Y'all didn't even say anything on that one. Y'all should have said, no way. No. But there are some things that that are high in iron.
Raisins.
A lot of the dark foods. You'd be surprised some of the stuff that actually has iron in it. So you can... What do? You go get something that has iron in it, and you try to eat more of it and consume more of it while you're trying to produce more iron in your body. You need more vitamin C. What do? You go to an orange. You know, it's always better to eat an orange than drink an orange, but sometimes it's more convenient to drink an orange. Tropicana, Grove Stand, with not concentrated, right? That's the good stuff.
With pulp.
With pulp, yeah. Yeah, y'all ever drink that? Yeah, that's the good stuff. You need more calcium in your body. What do? You drink more milk. All of these things, we do these things in the natural. When we notice that we're deficient in an area, what do? We try to produce more of them in our body. You take your supplements, you take your vitamins, you do all of these things. But what about in a spiritual sense? You need to produce the thing in you before you can release it. all these muscle builders, they're taking all these supplements and stuff. Why? So that they can produce bigger muscles. They try to do everything in accordance to what will produce bigger muscles. You want to have faith in an area, you don't strive for faith, you strive to produce a knowledge, not just a knowledge, but a revelation of God's will for that area. How do you produce a revelation? Revelation is going to come by the Holy Ghost, but when you surround yourself with the Word of God, whether it be through preaching or teaching or studying the Word, meditating in the Word, listening to the Word, reading the Word, all of these things, when you get into God's Word to discover God and His purpose and His will for a matter, then all of a sudden faith is produced. You're not looking for faith, you're looking for God's will. Isn't that right? Okay. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, it says that you are saved, right? Now, the word saved is preservation, healing, deliverance, safety, soundness, to do well, to prosper. It goes on, but we usually break it down into just PHDSS, right? So, but you have been saved, but how did you get saved? By faith. Faith in what? The grace of God, the Word of God, the grace of God. It wasn't just the fact that Jesus said it, but He actually did it too. I mean, He actually died and rose from the dead. Paul in Corinthians said, if He didn't rise from the dead, then what are we doing sitting here on Sunday morning? Because what we're believing is worthless if He didn't rise from the dead. Well, He did rise from the dead. That's what Paul says. So we have a message for the whole world to know. But pull that back up, Tim. You have been saved, and you're saved through faith, but how? By the grace of God. What actually gave you salvation? Was it your faith or the grace of God? The grace of God. How do you receive the grace of God? By faith. In other words, you're not going to get it by works or feelings. You get it by simply saying, if you said you did it, then that's what happened. And you say, I believe it, and I receive it as such. Okay? So we receive salvation by the grace of God. Grace is the person and work of Jesus that's been freely given to people that don't deserve it and can't earn it. Amen. Grace is the person and work of Jesus that's been freely given to people that don't deserve it and can't earn it. That's what it is. And so when you want something from God, when you believe God is prompting you in your heart to believe for something, or you see a deficit in your life, you see a need in your life, you don't try to produce the results of it. You go back to the grace that God has given you in Jesus Christ. Did you give this to me? Can you show me how you gave me that privilege as my own? Lord, can you show me how you made me well? Lord, can you show me why you called yourself the one who heals me? Lord, can you show me why Abraham called you Jehovah Jireh, the one who always provides? Can you reveal that in my heart? You're not going back and trying to find faith, you're trying to find the grace that was been poured out for you. And what happens is when you suddenly have a revelation of the grace, that's what we call faith. So you're not pursuing faith, you're pursuing the work and person of Jesus, which is called the grace. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it says, verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." When Paul wanted to begin to explain how people were prospering even though they were poor, what did he go back and tell the Corinthians about the Macedonians? See, the Macedonians had nothing, but yet they were still generous and God provided for them. So he wanted to describe that to the Corinthians so that the Corinthians could also be generous and have God providing for them. So what did he describe to them? "I make known to you," I'm going to describe to you the grace of God that the Macedonians understood and were acting on. So we go back to the scriptures to discover, has it been bought for me? Has it been given to me? Is it a free gift to me? What do we call that? Have I been graced with it? It's the grace of God. You go back to this grace. And so he made known to them not the faith of the Macedonians, but the grace of God that the Macedonians had faith in. So you have to discover, what have you been graced with? What has been given to you freely? Now, Veronica tends to be very focused on producing faith. And I say, what would you teach if you were to teach on prosperity? Because, you know, I do the offering messages every Sunday morning, and so my mind very often is thinking, anytime something comes up during the week, I'm thinking, how can I apply this to the offering message? You know, it's just that's what I'm thinking towards. Veronica's thinking, how can I use this on Thursday night healing service? You know, and so you're always thinking about these different topics. And so my purpose on the offering message, I only have a couple minutes there, and I have to be very succinct. I can't go on and on and on. Sometimes I want to, and sometimes Sister Maddie says, you're going too long, you need to shorten it, you know, and so sometimes I bring it back down, and I've tried to be as succinct as I can. But my purpose is to somehow give you scripture to reveal the grace of God by the Holy Spirit. I want the grace of God to be revealed to you so that you have faith to act on the Word of God. But you don't have faith to act on it unless the grace of God is revealed in your heart. So my whole purpose is to produce faith for finances. Faith that you are blessed. Faith that God wants you to have more than enough. I want you to understand that it's His will for you to be exceedingly prosperous. Amen. That's the whole purpose of the offering message. Not sometimes it is to release faith, because Paul had to look at the guy and say, stand up! He had to release faith. But just before that, it said he perceived that he was in faith. So until you produce faith, you're never going to be able to release faith. Now, your faith is in the grace of God. In going down, verse 7 of this verse, of this chapter, 8:7, 1 Corinthians 8, 2 Corinthians 8:7, it says, the last part of the verse, it says, "See that you abound in this grace also." So Paul's not telling him, be sure and have faith. He's saying, abound in the grace of God. What you're looking for is the grace of God. What have you been graced with? Have you been graced with health? Now, I didn't ask you, are you walking in health? I said, have you been graced with health? Yes. Well, yes, the scriptures say, I've been graced with health. Now, are you living it? Maybe, maybe not. Can you? Yes, you can. Okay, you can get into it. You can learn how to excel or abound in the grace for health
even if you're not abounding in that grace right now? How about, have you been given the prosperity, the provision of God? In just by listening to other ministers and their experiences, it's not unusual to seemingly, at least in your checkbook, have an abundance at one time and at other times seemingly have almost nothing. But you always have the provision of God. It will be there. What is it? Kenneth Copeland said 90%+ of the things that he started out to do that he felt directed by God to do, he did not have the money to start. But by the time he got into it, the money came. So are you always just overflowing like Solomon? No. But will God always provide for the things that he's told you to do? Yes. Absolutely. And when God speaks to you to be generous in a certain way, whatever that way is, you can guarantee that you've been graced to do it. Amen. Even if you can't see physically how to do it, the grace is there to be able to do it. And by you acting on that grace in faith, you realize you don't act on something in faith unless it's impossible to do. Until it's impossible, there's no faith involved. Right? Amen. But what are we acting on? We're acting on the grace of God. In Romans chapter 4, it tells the story of Abraham. In verse 16, it says, "Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace." Now, in this whole chapter, it talks about the difference between earning it and receiving it by faith. How do we receive salvation? We earn it, right?
No.
Okay, y'all are listening. We receive it by faith in Jesus Christ, not by our own efforts. If you could earn it, there was no need for Jesus to die on the cross. Okay, so it's not given to you because you earned it. It's given to you because Jesus has already given it. Like I said earlier, grace is the person and work of Jesus given freely to those who have not earned it or deserved it. Okay? Grace is the person and work of Jesus given freely to those who have not earned it or deserved it. Now here in this chapter, it says, "Therefore, it is a faith that it might be according to grace." So the whole, everything that we receive, salvation and everything that's included with salvation, is an act of grace towards us. And we receive the grace by faith. So when we're talking about producing faith rather than releasing faith, what is going to produce faith? An understanding of God's grace. That's what's going to produce faith. You go back and say, "God, have you given that to me? Can you help me understand that? Can you show me? Show me books. Show me tapes, CDs. Show me sermons I can watch. Show me programs on TV. Just enlighten me on your grace for this area." And you go to God asking for Him to show how He graced you for an area, you will start to see things. It will start to produce a revelation in your heart of His grace for that area. Okay, so we keep on going. Verse 17, Abraham copied God. He called those things which do not exist as though they did. 18, who contrary to hope, in hope, believed so that, that's where I said, contrary to expectation, he still expected. Faith is when it's impossible. Until it's impossible, there's no faith involved in it. Right. So you can't expect something that's going to happen if you know it's going to happen. It's going to rain. Anybody bring an umbrella in today? Okay. Okay, you know, we carry umbrellas. Why? Because we kind of expect it to rain around here. It doesn't take a whole lot of faith to believe it's going to rain. You know, we had this fixture, an old light fixture that hung over the sink in the first house we lived in. And we would flip the switch, and then you could turn around, do something in the kitchen, and about 3 minutes later, that light would come on. We called it our faith light. Because we would flip the switch knowing that's going to come on. We didn't sit there and flip it back and forth, 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 hoping that it would come on. We knew if we flip that switch, give it a couple minutes, it'll come on. It was an old one. The ballast had to warm up, all those things, you know. But that's the way faith works. You flip the switch and you say, you just watch and see. Give it a minute, that thing will be on. Okay. So even though it didn't look like that light was going to come on, we knew it was going to come on. Abraham, the same way. Even though it did not look like he was going to be the father of many nations, he said, I will be. In fact, he started calling himself the father of many nations, just as God had told him to do.
Right.
And he said, I will be the father of many nations. I've turned the switch on, and I'm just waiting for the light to come on. But you'll see that light come on. Verse 19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body, which was already dead, and so was Sarah's. Verse 20, he didn't waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Verse 21, and being fully convinced. Fully convinced of what? The word of God to him. He had several experiences where God spoke to him and said, this is what's going to happen. And when he acted on it, that happened. God said, pick up your stuff and head to Canaan. He said, yes, sir. And he picked up his stuff and headed to Canaan. And the things that God promised to him came to pass. And so even though it seemed impossible, he knew God would do it. And when God spoke to him and said, you're going to be a father, he said, yes, sir, I believe it. I don't care if I am 90 years old. It's going to happen. And he kept saying it. I'm the father of many nations. You just watch and see. He was fully convinced. And that's the key. We have to be fully convinced. Until you're fully convinced, you're not going to act in faith. So the object isn't trying to act in faith, but trying to be fully convinced. And what convinces us? Grace of God towards us. Whether it be the spoken word, the written word, but when we discover that God has graced us, given it to us, provided it for us, when we discover God's grace in an area, that's when suddenly it's been produced. And until we discover the grace of God, I remember discovering that I was the righteousness of God. Now that righteousness is true for all of us. Every single one of us is righteous the moment we're born again. But you grow in the knowledge and revelation of just how righteous you are. And as you grow in that, all of a sudden it becomes alive to you, and you say, you can tell the devil, shut up. That is not true. God's word says. Okay? And then going on, the first verse of the next chapter, 5:1, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 2, through whom also we, now he's been talking about Abraham, now he's talking about us, we. We, say I have access into this grace. Do you?
Yes.
Do you have access into the grace of God? What is it that you're looking to access in order to have results? The grace of God. Now, how do you access the grace of God? By faith. But what is it that you're trying to access? Is it your faith or God's grace? That's what you're trying to access. So put aside all your thoughts of trying to be in faith and start discovering God's grace.
Good.
Quit trying to get into faith and just discover God's grace. Until you discover God's grace, you'll never be able to act by faith in what? God's grace. What are you trying to act in faith on? God's grace. So what is it that you need to discover? God's grace. And when we too have access into the same graces of God that Abraham had. And when we act on those graces of God, when we say, that's true, that's mine, that belongs to me, you know what we call that? Faith. You don't have to pursue faith. Let people tell you that you're in faith. You could drop the word faith out of your vocabulary and just say, I'm pursuing the grace of God, and I fully believe the grace of God. We call that faith. Faith is there to define things. It's not something that we pursue. What we pursue is Jesus Christ and what He's given us freely. We didn't deserve it, and we can't earn it. And what are we pursuing? The person and work of Jesus Christ. And we discover who He is and what He's given you personally as your own. That's when suddenly you're in faith. That's what we're looking for. And it says that we have access into the grace in which we stand. Do we stand in our faith or in His grace? What are we trying to access? His grace. And what is it that's going to give us the ability to stand when it seems like there's nothing to stand on? It's His grace, not our faith. So too many people have been searching for the faith to act on the promises of God when they should actually be pursuing the person and work of Jesus Christ, or the grace of God. And when you pursue the grace of God, then you have something to stand on, and you can be excited because you can expect, the word hope means to expect, you can expect the glory and manifestation of God in your life when you discover the grace of God and you begin to stand on the grace of God and not your own ability to believe God, but you stand on the grace of God, knowing that if He said it, it belongs to you, and you can stand on it and see it come to pass. Amen. Thank you. You may be dismissed.